Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome inside ESPN Studios. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Spencer Wilson. I hope your Tuesday is treating you well. We have gotten through Monday, which is usually the toughest part of it all. But welcome to the show. We're going to talk about this new MLB playoff format change that has been apparently talked about and pitched to Rob Manfred and his team there at Major League Baseball. So we'll talk about that and some of the backlash that it was getting from a certain player. You probably already know about that, but I'll give you my reaction to it. Also talk, of course, about the NBA with another week in the books. I believe week 16 in the books now. Week 17 starts tonight, so we will talk about where everybody stands as we now correctly head into the All-Star break. Then, of course, I'll give you my daily pick as well to end the show. But first, I thought I would start off with addressing the elephant in the room, right? Being a Charger fan, if you listened to the show before, you know that. And something that I have talked about this past season has finally come true. And that is that Philip Rivers and the team formerly known as the San Diego Chargers are mutually agreeing to part ways after 16 seasons together. And, I mean, that's pretty incredible to think about the fact that it's been in the Philip Rivers show with the Chargers essentially since 2004 when he took over, when he, at least he started to play and start to get some games under his belt. He didn't really take over until 2006, but he got a couple games under his belt there in 2004 and 2005 and then just took off. And you know what? As much as people have ragged on him and as much as, you know, the kind of criticism that I've had of him, even though I still think he's a fantastic player, you got to look at right consistency in starting quarterbacks. I mean, staying healthy, staying out there. And essentially from 2006 to 2019, Philip Rivers had 16 games and 16 games started in each of those seasons. He only had two games in 2004 and 2005 and didn't start any. But 16 starts from 2006 to 2019. That is a man that is watching out for his health, who knew how his style of football played into a team and how he could be successful with it. And although he had decent numbers these last few seasons, we haven't really seen career highs really since 2013 and 2015 was the last time we really saw him hitting these peaks of his athletic career. And you know what? I don't know if it's to the point where Tom Brady is, where you know, as a fan, I look in and, you know, at Rivers and say, I don't want him playing anywhere else. I wouldn't really want him going anywhere else just because I don't want him to be some of those Chargers that go away and have a lot of success and you know, leave us all scratching our head going, how did they not get that done with him here? Because some of the teams, and really Tampa Bay has been the team that I hear the most coming up around Philip Rivers. And again, I've talked about a little bit about that in the Tampa Bay. Kind of offers Rivers the same type of weapons with some really good receivers out wide, a strong tight end. I don't know if Tampa Bay has, the multiple running threats that the Chargers do to the certain level. I mean, if Melvin Gordon hadn't sat out essentially all of preseason, what would he have looked like and what would that offense have looked like? But I can understand him wanting to go to a team that's set up like that. But I think Tampa Bay might be the only option. Cleveland, maybe an outside option there. I don't know if he'd want to go up to the AFC North and play in that division with Lamar Jackson and possibly Ben Roethlisberger returning and possibly Joe Burrow taking over the reins there in Cincinnati. But again, you think about weapons at wideout, weapons in the backfield. He would have that at Cleveland, but I just don't see Rivers really going anywhere that north. I think it's Tampa Bay or retirement essentially for Rivers, and honestly, I'd kind of like to see him retire. I think that he's been okay these last few years. I mean, there's been stretches of solid play, but he still, I think, was kind of looking for that last gasp with those last few years with the Chargers, just trying to make, you know, big plays happen when they weren't there, trying to go for that highlight play or just holding on for the ball too long. I mean, those games against Kansas City and the team formerly known now as the Oakland Raiders, watching those games this year and seeing Rivers just look old. I mean, to see games like he had against Green Bay where he was moving around in the pocket and he was making it tough for, or at least tougher for defenders to get to him. Obviously, he's not going to be breaking ankles like a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray or anything like that. But you know, Rivers at least was moving around in the pocket, but you really saw games this year, like that game against Kansas City in Mexico City, or like either game really against the Raiders. He just wasn't moving. There were games where it didn't really seem like he was able to really move around the pocket. And his offensive line, there were some struggles there, you know, again, kind of a revolving door at some spots, but for the most part, he had some good time back there to throw. He had a chance to really set his feet and just kind of show us what he's got, and I think it's just really starting to tail away from him. I think it's at a point now where he doesn't have the same kind of accuracy on a deep ball. He can still chuck it, but it's kind of just, you know, like that three flies up kind of throw. It's like, hey, if you can, go get it, and that's not really going to help you as you get older and unable to move around. Not that Rivers was ever a very mobile quarterback. My gosh, he looked like a newborn calf on ice skates when he would take off half the time, and I was afraid whenever he decided to slide, if he did, that he'd pole vault himself over his legs again like he did that one time, I think, against the Raiders. But either way, I think it's just time for Rivers to call it a career. I mean, I don't think he's going to get to any team that will really give him a chance to win a ring. I think his best chance to do that was really, if we want to talk about his real best chance, I think that was late 2000s. I mean, 2006, 2007, 2008. I mean, those, I think, were really kind of his best chances. You know, they had some playoff appearances the last, you know, 6-7 years, but ultimately, I think the title window for Rivers is just closed shut. I think it's over. I don't know if there is a place, even if he goes to Tampa Bay, and Bruce Arians has shown that, you know, again, the example of Carson Palmer and what he was able to do with him there in Arizona. But I still don't think that Rivers really has the game left in him to make a championship run, regardless of how many weapons he has. And he would be loaded there, especially in the wideout position with Tampa Bay. But I just don't see it. I just don't see this guy with the same amount of – I mean, he's always going to have the fire. That was the one thing you didn't have to worry about, Rivers. He was always going to have the fire. He was always going to have the attitude. He was always going to have the passion for it, and I'm sure he always will. I don't know if players that get to this level ever lose the passion for it. They can't play it, but they want to see the game taken care of. They want to see it handed down to the next generation properly. They want to see this game continue to grow and continue to get better and more competitive. I think Phillip Rivers will absolutely want that as well. I think he'll always, again, have the fire for this game, but I think in terms of the actual level of being able to compete with some of these other quarterbacks that are starting to work their way in, because we're kind of in that transitional period, right? Rivers, Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, you know, now that we have no Mannings in the NFL right now, that you know, last wave of talent is starting to leave, and we're seeing the Lamar Jacksons and the Patrick Mahomes and the Kyler Murrays and the Joe Burrows coming into the NFL, the Deshaun Watsons, these guys that are starting to come in that are real dual-threat quarterbacks, and I think we're going to work our way to an NFL that sees essentially 32 dual quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that's where we're going to. Some will be better runners than others. Some will be better passers than others, but we're kind of starting to see that new wave of quarterback really start to set in kind of a transitional period. We'll wait to see what happens with Tom Brady this year with his free agency looming. I think it's either Patriots or retirement. I really don't see Tom Brady playing anywhere else. I think he and Phillip Rivers are kind of in the same boat since Rivers has already left the Chargers. I would much rather just see Phillip retire and not. I mean, it's always fun to see him play. I mean, it was fun to see Favre keep playing. It was fun to see Peyton keep playing. But I think you use Favre as an example. It gets kind of weird at points. I mean, when he suited up for the New York Jets for like a season, that was really weird, kind of a head scratcher. Like, what was the point? What was the point of coming back for one season with a team that was just kind of on the brink and out of it there in the AFC at the time? What was that, like late 2000s or early or mid to late 2000s around that time? So you don't want to get to a point where you're like, dude, just retire. Just stop playing. Stop doing this to yourself. Stop doing this to the fans that have to try to come in. And you know, you don't want anyone to get to that point. So I'd love to see Rivers keep playing, but I feel like we're closer to that point right now, to where it's just like, hey, man, you fought valiantly. You competed throughout your career. Just bow out and enjoy life after football. And I don't know if we're to that point. I know these guys are going to have the fire and they're going to want to keep competing, but ultimately I think it's best for Rivers to retire. I think it's probably going to be Brady's retirement. I think he still wants to play. Well, he said he wanted to play until he's 44, so that's still two more seasons. So I don't know if he'll continue to do that. I doubt Like, is it worth going somewhere for two seasons if you're Tom Brady? Really, is it worth it? I mean, if you can't get one of, I mean, unless you're really on like a Chiefs or a Niners or a Ravens team, it's going to be kind of tough regardless of where you are, even if you stay in New England. So, I mean, if I was Brady, I think it would be either smarter just to stay in New England or you retire. Honestly, I think I'd be leaning more towards retirement. What do you have left to prove if you're Tom Brady? Like, at least Rivers, the conversation that will always hover around him and, you know, whether or not he gets into the Hall of Fame is always, oh, he doesn't have any rings. I mean, he was really good and he played some good football, but he doesn't have any rings. Like, if you're Tom Brady, what more do you have to prove? You've got a whole handful and then some, man. Like, just go. So we'll see what happens, but I don't want it to get to the point with Rivers. I really don't care if we get to the point with Brady where it's like, dude, retire. Because honestly, I was at that point like 3 years ago, so it's just whatever with him at this point. But with Philip Rivers, I respect him. I loved the way he was a player. I loved the way he competed. I loved the way that he was a team leader. I would have liked to have seen the trash talk get a little bit dirtier, though. I appreciated the clean trash talk for a while there. But eventually, I just want to hear my quarterback drop an F-bomb on a defensive player. That's essentially what it comes down to. And who knows? Maybe if he had done that, it would have given him a little bit more of an edge to possibly make it a big postseason run. Obviously, they had the 1 year in 2007 where they made it to the AFC Championship game again but lost to New England 21-12. I want to say that score was. In the AFC Championship game, if I can look it up here. Yeah, 21-12 against New England that year. So that was really kind of the only chance that we really saw Philip Rivers with having, you know, in terms of getting to a Super Bowl game there. But I hope he retires. I hope he enjoys life after football. He's got plenty of kids to enjoy time with there in Florida. So I hope that he just kind of calls it a career. And for Tom Brady, I mean, just go away, man. You've won everything. You don't need anything else. But we'll see what happens. But it was kind of a headline I expected to see when it came across that Rivers and the Chargers were mutually parting ways. It's just time. And you got a quarterback draft class right now that you really can't give up an opportunity on. Not that you would had to have given up that opportunity if you kept Rivers. But I think there's a lot of talent right now that you just want to pick somebody, want to get yourself a good quarterback. I think last mock draft I saw actually had Jordan Love, the quarterback at Utah State, going to the Chargers, and Justin Herbert had now been going to Indianapolis later on in round one. But either way, I think a young, mobile quarterback is what they need. If it's Tyrod Taylor for this coming season, we'll bite the bullet on that. I mean, the guy's a good, young, athletic guy, so we can, you know, he'll be able to create some plays. I think we saw in Cleveland, there just isn't the full skill set there. So if we have him, if the Chargers have him out there for a season or maybe a little more so we can really start to prep and get the new guy they draft this year, you know, totally 100% comfortable with the offense, understanding what they're looking for, then that is what it is. But this was a move that was going to happen sooner rather than later, moving on from Philip Rivers, and you might as well just do it now while you had the out of free agency there this season. So I want to thank Philip Rivers for at least playing his heart out and being a team leader there for the Chargers and to be the guy since 2004 really on that sideline. It was it's been fun, and I hope he enjoys life after football. But speaking of life after football, the NFL season's over, XFL's underway, but the NBA season is still in full swing as we are down to we're closing in on the 2 month mark left of the season. Usually we have about 2 months coming off the All-Star break, which I said, like I said correctly, is this coming weekend. But another week of the NBA season is in the books, so we will talk about that and look at the standings after the break here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
16 weeks down in the NBA season, coming up on about 2 months to go with the All-Star game this weekend in Chicago. But let's take a look at kind of what has been shuffled around in the Eastern and Western Conference, because not a whole lot of movement up top in the East, the top four seeds staying the same. However, Milwaukee does have a 6.5 game lead, which is kept even with their lead last week over Toronto. So both teams kind of matching each other. Milwaukee, though, had a heck of a week with 4 wins over good teams. Granted, only 2 playoff teams right now, and that was Philadelphia and Orlando. But New Orleans seems to have a different kind of confidence now with Zion out there. I think they're continuing to get a little more comfortable working him in. And Sacramento, although they're down towards the bottom of the Western Conference, did have some movement upwards themselves this week. So I would say 4 good wins for the Milwaukee Bucks. On the road against New Orleans, then home against the Sixers at Orlando, and home against Sacramento. This team now 46-7 overall. Like I said, 6.5 games up on the Raptors. And, I mean, Antetokounmpo keeps just kind of hammering away his MVP opportunity. I don't know if he's a runaway MVP right now, but I would say he's absolutely, in my book, he is the absolute front runner. No disrespect to LeBron James or anybody else doing some great things in the NBA right now, but the way that Antetokounmpo leads this team, commands this team, and has been dominating teams in the NBA this season, I think there is just a different attitude to this Milwaukee Bucks team, who has essentially been number one in the East, along with the Lakers being number one in the West, essentially the whole season so far in the 2019-20 NBA season. So, not a surprise to see Milwaukee again just handling their business. I mean, 4 wins. This is a team that is on a 5-game winning streak right now and 9-1 in their last 10 games. I mean, they really are just playing some incredible basketball. Still undefeated in their division, 11-0. So I believe with 5 games left in divisional play, they have a chance to essentially go unbeaten against Chicago, Detroit, Indiana, and who am I leaving out? Cleveland. Those are the 4 teams that are in the Central Division along with Milwaukee. So understandable as to why they are, 11-0 against those 4 teams. Indiana is the only one of those 4 teams that are still a playoff team. Chicago, Detroit, and Cleveland in that bottom 7 of the Eastern Conference. So not a surprise to see why Milwaukee's 11-0, but still 21-4 away, 25-3 at home. A team that just feels comfortable essentially anywhere in the NBA, and you have a guy that causes matchup nightmares. I mean, Antetokounmpo, although he's not automatic from 3-pointer by any means, he's getting more confidence back there, and he's starting to develop a legit 3-point shot. It's still a little ways away from being, a deadly 3-point shooter to the point where you'd want to guard him out there. But I think he's definitely starting to add that to his game, which if you're an NBA player nowadays, whether you're active in the NBA or you're a college player or high school player that has hopes of being in the NBA, you better be able to shoot a 3-ball. I don't care if you're a 1, if you're a 5, if you're a 3, 2. I don't care what position you're playing on the floor. You better be able to at least shoot a solid-looking 3-ball. Otherwise, you're going to have to be very good at one specific thing in the NBA, because if you can't shoot a 3, I'm not sure where you fit in anymore, because even big guys got to be able to. I mean, Bogdanovich, I think it was, for Utah, hit a freaking 3-pointer to beat Houston over the weekend to sink that pick for me. So if you're a big guy, you got to be able to shoot a 3-pointer. And Antetokounmpo, although he hasn't perfected that, is working that into his game. And the way he's dominating rebounding and just play in the paint, period, that's a frightening aspect for the NBA if he starts to develop a long-range shot there. But Milwaukee, nonetheless, again, still 6.5 games up on Toronto in second place, who is on their own nice winning streak, 15-game winning streak for Toronto, 10-0 in their last 10 games, obviously, matching a kind of run that Milwaukee had earlier on in the year. But Toronto, again, still on a 15-game winning streak, still 6.5 games back. So they're going to have to keep that winning streak going and hope that Milwaukee runs into some trouble, which, they could. If nothing's ever guaranteed. I mean, Antetokounmpo could go down with an injury essentially any time. But the way that team is playing right now, it's going to be tough to catch them even on a 15-game winning streak. Then Boston stayed in third, 8.5 games back of Milwaukee. They're also on a 7-game winning streak, 9-1 in their last 10 games, so a lot of winning going on between the top 3 teams in the Eastern Conference. But 8.5 games back of Milwaukee, this is a Boston team that I still feel like is developing a little bit in terms of all-out play on the court, but when they get into a rhythm, man, when they start really playing Celtic basketball this year, it is frightening to see what that team can do, the kind of runs that team can go on. And a couple young stars on that team like Tatum and Walker making the All-Star game, you're participating in All-Star game festivities. So it's a team that I think is sitting nicely in third with the reigning champions Toronto Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks kind of handling feels like a majority of the tension there in the Eastern Conference, especially with the way Philadelphia is struggling. I don't know if a whole lot of people are looking at Boston right now. I mean, not to say they're not title contenders by any means, but I would say that majority of the attention is not on Boston. I think for that, sitting in third place, that's a good spot for the Celtics to be. Then we have Miami still in fourth place, 5-5 in their last 10 games, a team that struggled a little bit, but I think a team that will continue to play some good basketball this year and hold on to that top four spot. I mean, this is not a team that I think a lot of people saw being top four in the East, a team that's risen up to, I believe, as high as second at one point, or at least third in the Eastern Conference this season. So they continue to play really solid basketball, and I think after the trade deadline, they've helped themselves a little bit too, so we'll see what the Miami Heat have in store for these last few months of the season. Then we get down to Philadelphia and Indiana, who once again, I want to say for maybe the fourth time in the last 5 weeks or so, swap positions between fifth and sixth. Philadelphia now back up into fifth place, 2.5 games back of Miami there in fourth. And for Philadelphia, not a bad week. They had that loss at Milwaukee, but then bounced back with wins against Memphis and against Chicago. So a two-game winning streak for the 76ers, 5-5 in their last 10 games. But this is still a team that I think is stuttering. They're just not able to figure out where they succeed and where they're going to have the best luck right now, because Embiid is you know, an underneath presence. But again, whether you go all in on Embiid and let him kind of be your kind of leader, or you all in on Simmons, it's still, I think, kind of indecisive there with Philadelphia, and whether that's on Brett Brown or whoever that's on. But if they can't pick kind of one or the other, because it seems like they just kind of go back and forth. One night it's Simmons, one night it's Embiid, and if you can get to a point where you can do that, where you can have both guys kind of swapping off as you know, lead forces for your game, that's all right. But I think that's the part that's hindering Philadelphia. They can't really get a good rhythm. One night it's all about Embiid, one night it's all about Simmons, and they just can't get a solid footing between the two, and it's going to hamper you, especially in a conference right now that sees Toronto, Boston, and Miami playing some really good team basketball. Milwaukee having Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton leading the way, which is proving to be a dynamic duo for the Bucks this year. So Philadelphia is going to have to figure it out. Otherwise, matching up with Miami there in the first round like they would right now, that'd be a very tough matchup for the 76ers. They have the Clippers, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, and Atlanta coming up this week. So we'll see how they fare against those teams. That's not going to be an easy week for the 76ers. Then Indiana falling a spot down to six. They are two games back of Philadelphia. And for Indiana, four losses this week, 0-4, losing back-to-back games to Toronto, then at home against New Orleans and Brooklyn. So it's been a rough week for Indiana that continues onto a six-game losing streak extending back to last week. They are now 3-7 in their last 10 games. So this could be a spot, if there was ever a chance for Philadelphia to really pull away from Indiana, it is right now. With the way the Pacers are struggling, they have Milwaukee coming up their next game, then New York, then back against Toronto and Charlotte. So this could be a time for Philadelphia to try to put some wins together and kind of extend that lead over Indiana and get back into the conversation more of those top four teams instead of the middle four teams. But Indiana struggling this past week. And then we have Brooklyn and Orlando holding on to their 7th and 8th spots as they normally do. Then Washington back up to 9th. They are 3.5 games out of 8th place Orlando. Washington having a very light week with just two games, going 1-1, winning at home against Dallas, but then losing at home to Memphis on Sunday. But Washington, even with the light week, was able to move up into 9th. Chicago dropped down to 10th, a half a game back of the Wizards. But then the bottom five stayed the same, with Detroit and Charlotte in 11th and 12th. And then New York, Atlanta, and Cleveland rounding out the bottom three. They're in the Eastern Conference. Then we're getting to the Western Conference. Again, the Lakers, just like Milwaukee, holding down the top spot there. LeBron James also cementing a very strong MVP candidate type season. And Although things a little bit tighter out there in the West, Denver now back up over the Clippers, closing in on the Lakers, who did not play Denver this week. They had three home games against San Antonio, which they won, home against Houston, which they lost. Then the Lakers picking up wins at Golden State and home against Phoenix. So a 3-1 week for Los Angeles. But Denver, like I said, closing in on the Lakers, just three games back, with Denver having a 4-0 week, winning at home against Portland, on the road against Utah and Phoenix, then at home against San Antonio. So Denver, again, starting to find their rhythm a little bit. Jokic, Jamal Murray, two guys that are really starting to lead the way. You have Paul Millsap as well, though, in there helping out as he has this season. So this is a Denver team that, kind of like Miami and Boston, playing really good team basketball between a couple of guys that are leading the way for this team. And with some tough games coming up, the Lakers, OKC, Minnesota coming up for Denver. Well, not so much Minnesota, but Los Angeles and OKC coming up for Denver this week. That'll be a chance for them to really close the gap there to the Lakers, having their next game tomorrow night at home against LA. So that'll be a chance for them to close that gap down to two games if they are able to come away with a win there. But a big opportunity for Denver as they jump back up over the Los Angeles Clippers, who fall down to third. Game back of the Nuggets, 3.5 back of the Lakers, after having a 2-1 week, beating Miami and Cleveland, but losing on the road to Minnesota. And another game that wrecked my weekend picks, Minnesota getting a 142-115 win over the Clippers. Did not see that coming at all. And that's been kind of some of the games we've seen from the Clippers this year. Sometimes it's been kind of ugly for them, and you worry about that when you get into the postseason. You have a more tumultuous schedule, and you have to beat a team 4 out of 7 times, essentially, without taking a break from them. And those kind of performances are what worries you about that, because we haven't seen as much of that really at all from the Lakers this year, and that's been kind of the difference between the Lakers and the Clippers, and why the purple and gold have been essentially at the top of the Western Conference all year, and the red and white have been struggling to stay out of that middle four and staying in the top four in the Western Conference. But they stay in third. They're two games up on Utah, who held their spot in 5.5 games back. Then Houston, still two games back of Utah, but 7.5 back of the Lakers, another team that just can't figure out how to balance between their two stars of Harden and Westbrook. And that, I feel like, is going to get a lot more frustrating in Houston than it will in Philadelphia. Maybe not, as a lot quicker in Houston, but I think that's definitely going to be a situation where if they can't figure it out sooner rather than later, the Rockets are going to have a big decision on their hands. Then Oklahoma City jumping up into 6th place there in the Western Conference, essentially jumping Dallas into 6th. And OKC had a nice week with 2 wins and a loss, beating Cleveland and Detroit, and losing a tough one to Boston, 112-111. This is an OKC team that is not just going away. It's not, falling into the abyss like I think some people thought it would when they traded for Chris Paul from Houston. This is a team that, again, is playing some good team basketball right now. And, Dennis Schroeder helping out. You still have Steven Adams down there. Danilo Gallinari is even putting in some good work. And Chris Paul leading the team essentially in assists, which is what he's become really essentially. I mean, he is one of the best dishers in the NBA right now. So, not a surprise to see him leading the way in assists for that team. But this is an OKC team that's playing well. They're only a game back of Houston, which I don't think anyone would have expected the Thunder and the Rockets to be that close in this year's standings. But OKC hanging in there very tough in this Western Conference. Then Dallas fell a spot to 7th. They are now 9 games back of the Lakers. Memphis stayed in 8th, 4.5 games back of Dallas, but 2.5 up on Portland, still in 9th. San Antonio held their spot in 10th. New Orleans still in 11th, and not too far off, only 5 games back of Memphis there in the Western Conference. Then you had Sacramento jumping Phoenix for 12th. Phoenix back down to 13th, which I'm okay with. This is the kind of season I expected. I expected Phoenix to once again be down towards the bottom of the Western Conference, but they're down there by fighting, which I am so okay with. This is a team that competes. They go out there and they scrap and they fight and they compete for every win this season. And if you do that and still lose, hey, that's life and that's sports. But they're not tanking. They're not throwing games anymore. They're not playing, at 50% for this season. So they may have fallen to 13th, but I love the way the Phoenix Suns are playing basketball this year. Then you have Minnesota and Golden State still 14th and 15th. there in the Western Conference. But that is how the NBA looks after 16 weeks. We have week 17 starting tonight and just continue to creep closer and closer to the end of the season. Like I said, appropriately now coming up on the All-Star game this weekend, we'll have about 2 months or so after the All-Star break towards the end of the NBA season. But some big games tonight as week 17 gets going. Clippers and the 76ers, Portland and New Orleans. That could be a fun one. Boston and Houston, San Antonio and OKC all going down tonight. So that could be a very fun start to the 17th week of the NBA season. But we are going to take a break when we come back. Baseball changing its playoffs again. We are going to talk about that on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
So Major League Baseball is mulling the idea of adjusting their playoff format, which essentially I'm not against. For to have 30 teams play 162 games and then just allow 10 playoff spots, that to me kind of seems like a form of torture. I mean, why would you have so many teams play so many games if by game 80 or 90 we know if they're not going to make it in? Essentially, we're going to know if they're not going to make it. And we've seen crazy comebacks before throughout a season, some team coming back and making the playoffs. But essentially, about halfway or a little over halfway through the season, we have an idea of, you know, the 10 to 13 teams that could be competing for a playoff spot. So I am all for expanding the MLB field. And in the plan proposed, it would expand to 14 teams. So essentially, you add 7 playoff teams to each league, National League and American League. I almost said conference. I always want to say conference when I'm talking about baseball because everything else essentially uses a conference. Soccer, football, hockey, basketball, they all use conferences, but then there's baseball with their freaking leagues. But either way, right? So expansion to 14 teams, which means that you would have the 3 division winners from your West, Central, and Eastern divisions, and then 4 wild card teams, which, again, I'm all for. I think that's great. I think if you're going to play this long of a season, you might as well allow a little more activity during your postseason. And you know what? I think 14 teams is still a good spot to where it feels something still. You know, I mean, if you will, you know, go down the road of the NBA where you have 16 teams make it in, that's a team over, you know, halfway. That means you have 16 teams in the playoffs and 14 outside the playoffs. So if you're baseball, keeping it 14 in and 16 out, I think not that that makes a huge difference, but for baseball and their adjustment, I think that's a reasonable size playoff field to go to expand from 8 to 10, now to 14. I think that would be a smart decision. So I'm all for the playoff expansion. I think that should be a change that baseball should absolutely go towards. Here's the part of it that I'm not super thrilled about. And there's an article on ESPN.com from ESPN News Service that has the three kind of different, you know, plot points of this expansion. One thing is that there would be a reality TV type format to determining which teams play each other in that new wild card round. So how the playoffs would essentially get set is that you would have the number one team in each league. So the best of the 3 division winners would get a bye into the divisional round. And then you would have the 4 wild card teams and the 2 other division winners as the 6 teams from each league that would play in the wild card round. And how they want to decide who plays who, essentially, is that the highest or the second best team, the second best league winner, division winner, would essentially pick which wild card team they'd like to play. And then the division winner with the worst record would get to choose from the remaining 2 wild card teams, and the best wild card team left would essentially play the worst wild card team left. Here's why I don't like that. What's the point? I mean, if that's what you're going to, if you're going to let teams pick about who they want to play, then I don't even really see the point of having, like, stand. Like, it's an interesting idea, but if I finish fifth, right, and I get to avoid having to play, you know, the fourth seed or whatever. Now, like, let's say the second seed chooses us over seventh seed. Now we have to play a tougher opponent, even though we had a better season than seventh, who would originally have to play number two. Like, if I'm a wild card team, that would infuriate me, because even though you're a wild card team, you're still playing for a better matchup. Right? Like, if I'm sitting in seventh place as a wild card team and I know that we're going to have to then play the second best team in our league, we're going to try to make something happen so we can get to sixth or fifth or possibly the best wild card seed, so we wouldn't have to do that. But if we just finish as a wild card team and then it's essentially up to the division winners, that to me just seems a little too playgroundish. It seems a little too just unprofessional to have a team essentially select, oh yeah, we want to play them. I mean, it seems kind of ridiculous, and I don't know where baseball's head is at. I don't know if they're having, like, this self-image problem after all of this, you know, scandals and the cheating. I don't know if they're just trying to do something so so crazily different from any other sports league to try and get attention away from that. But this whole thing of, oh, you know, if you know the second best team can choose who they want to play, that to me just seems way too childish. And I'm not for it. That's the one part that I'm not for. I'm all for expanding the playoffs, get it to 14 teams. I like the fact that you would have a best of three in the wild card round instead of just a one-off wild card game, because although there is drama to that, so, you know, you play 162, here's game 163, who can make it into the division series, there's excitement and drama. But, again, baseball is a sport built off of series. Whether it's best of five in the division series, best of seven in the LCS or the World Series, or just the three or four, possibly sometimes five-game series that you play throughout the season. Like, that's what baseball is made up of. Just like NASCAR is made up of ovals, Major League Baseball is made up of series between teams. So to see kind of that one-off wild card game, it's intriguing, but I think a best of three series would suit baseball better than having that one game wild card. And in this instance, the better seeded team would host all three games, well, two or all three, however many you would need to get through the wild card round, but there would be no switching of sites, which I'm also okay with, but I'm more or so okay with it if you stick to the matchups by seed. Again, I'm not thrilled on teams picking who they want to play in the postseason. It's just, it didn't feel right to me to have that be how you make up playoff matchups. When you think about postseason, it's already an advantage to be a division winner, because you're going to at least get, I mean, if you're the two seed, you're going to get home field advantage until you get to the LCS, where you would have to essentially play the number one seed. So you already have an advantage by having home field. You get to play at your home stadium, sleep in your home bed already. Then to let them pick who they want to play, it just seems a little too out of the box for me. But I'm all about expanding it to the best of three. I think that would be the best way to go. I can understand not wanting to switch around and you know, switch sites for essentially, you know, to go back and forth for a couple of games. I can appreciate that, so I'm okay with the better seeded team hosting all three games or all two games of that wild card series. But yeah, this whole thing about having the better seeded team choose their opponents, the one thing that just doesn't sit well with me. Because again, that's like letting a fighter pick who their challenger is, which sometimes works out if you have a champion that wants to be tested and wants to show how good they are. Yeah, then they might pick a challenger that is tough and is you know, would offer them a legit matchup in whatever round they meet. But if you let a team, you know, so most of the time a champion would just pick somebody that they could either, you know, make it look fun, make it look like it's a challenge, but eventually just blow over. So I don't want to leave it up to a team to decide how tough their postseason road is, because that's all part of the drama of the regular season. Seeing where you end up, who's left on their schedule. Okay, oh my gosh, I think they can get to number three, or I think they'll unfortunately drop to number five. Like that end of the season push, which I guess you wouldn't lose, because it would just become exciting to see who the division winners are and who the wild card teams are. But essentially, I think if you do this, if you let teams choose who they want to play, you're taking some drama out of the end of the season. And there was a certain player, Trevor Bauer, that went on to Twitter and shared his feelings. If you haven't seen the tweet, this is what it says. Quote, "No idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it, Rob Manfred. So I'll direct this to you, Rob Manfred. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You're a joke." Which to me sounds a little too harsh. Again, the expansion of the playoff field, I'm all for. The best of three in the wild card round, I'm all for. The only thing I don't want is for division winners to pick who they play. Because then what? Because then if you're the number one overall seed, do you get to pick the winner from the wild card round you want to play? I didn't see that on there. Like, if I'm the number one team, if we had such a great season, we're the best team in the National League, yet we don't get to choose who we play, but these other three teams do? Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. So this whole team's picking who they want to play, this whole BS reality TV format they're trying out and talking about, I think that is legitimately a dumb thing to do. But I am all for playoff expansion in the Major League Baseball. I think it'll help make the end of the season a little more entertaining and add a little more drama to it. So that I am all for. I think Trevor Bauer was a little too harsh on it. I don't know if it's a joke to think about expanding the playoff field, but I do think it's a joke letting teams pick who they want to play. But ultimately, all for it. I'd like to see Major League Baseball expand to 14 teams. Not that I'm even sure how much I'm going to watch of that this year after this offseason and the kind of bad taste that's left in my mouth of the sport, which is unfortunate because I do like baseball. But I'm definitely going to be checking out a little more MLS this season and doing more of what I do during NBA and hockey season this summer with soccer and baseball. But I would love to see the expansion of the playoffs of the playoff field in Major League Baseball. I think that'd be a great idea. So we'll see how it goes and how it pans out. But that's an interesting idea to be mulling over. I just do not like this whole reality TV format. But when we come back from the break, I will give you my pick of the day and a recap my pick yesterday. It went well again. So we will talk about that after the break here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio 94.5 FM.
Is your technology infrastructure meeting the demands of your customers, your employees, you? How does your network scale to support your growth plans? With distribution hiding behind every corner, it's time you benefited from a network and security provider that will guide your organization through rapid technology change. Blackfoot, here to enable what's next. Visit blackfoot.com/SDWAN to learn more.
Well, yesterday I said Texas Tech would score 65 points and win, and they did just that against TCU at home. Texas Tech went on to win 88-42. So I'm going to try and keep that college basketball mojo going. I think Kentucky playing Vanderbilt tonight. Now, this is a little tricky because Kentucky is on the road, and that's where, I mean, honestly, probably just as many upsets on the road or neutral side have happened from a top team this year than you know, them being on the road. But I'm going to say Kentucky has the lead at halftime and goes on to win the game on the road against Vanderbilt. I mean, a team that's 1-9 in the SEC, obviously. Anything can happen in the world of college basketball and sports, period. But I'm pretty confident that Kentucky will have the lead at halftime and go on to win that game. And real quick, if you were able to join us last night at Bullies off of Rob Drive for the Coaches Show, thank you so much for coming out. We always appreciate the energy from the crowd there. We had a lot of good questions last night. We had Coach Steve Alford and Associate Head Coach Craig Neal on the show, and both men were a lot of fun to talk to. To see them pal around back and forth was a lot of fun. And they had, it was essentially like a comedy show last night. All three of those, two of those guys and John Ramey having fun on the set. So we're here for that. And and be there for the coach's show, which will be this coming or week from this coming Wednesday. So a week from tomorrow will be the next coach's show. I believe that is February 19th. So Wednesday, February 19th, and then Wednesday, February 26th will be the next two coaches' shows. And then the final coaches' show of the Wolfpack season happens Monday, March. I want to say it's 2nd, but it's that first Monday of March. So only 3 Wolfpack coaches' shows left. So be sure to get out there and check it out. Like I said, it's always typically a fun atmosphere. It's always pretty packed, and we usually get a lot of good questions. And if you would like to show up again, you can, you know, we usually have pieces of paper there, so you can write your questions down, and we'll ask Coach. And if we have players, we didn't have any players on last night, but if we have players on the show, you can ask questions for them as well. I know John Ramey gives you the Twitter address or the Twitter username to send your tweets to. You can also send questions that way. But if you haven't gotten a chance to get out there yet, I encourage you to get out there. We only have 3 left this season, and they are usually a pretty fun hour out there at the Bullies off of Rob Drive. But that is the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back on the air again tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll have NHL talks for you. We'll also, of course, talk a little NCAA basketball, excuse me, as we had some new rankings come out, and we've had some shuffling around there in the top 25. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. And, of course, I'll have another daily pick for you as well for tomorrow. We'll hope that Kentucky keeps my streak going tonight. But like I said, that's the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk tomorrow. Peace.